Well, once again, welcome to the dark. Actually, this episode should probably be called A Scott After Opening Dark, because this episode is all about my first Canadian haunt experience opening a new haunted attraction in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And of course, when I planned this episode, and I know it's hard to believe in listening to them, but I do actually plan them out somewhat. In planning this episode, I was originally going to get interviews with some of the co-creators and the actors, and, well, as we all know, when opening a new haunted attraction, especially one that's never, ever happened before, things get a little wacky and crazy, so the only thing I actually recorded while I was in Edmonton was me walking down the street, and you'll hear a little bit of that later in the show. But this part of this show is being recorded in Houston International Airport because I have a layover, and my layover has been delayed, so I'm trying to get back. I'm at least in the States, so that's good. But that's enough. Enough about that. Let's talk about this haunt experience. So basically, Dark is a three haunt experience that takes place in an outdoor historic museum. I've talked a little bit about this, but let me give you some real breakdown as to what it's all about, how you can find out more about it, and if you happen to be in and around Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and you want to go and see it, you can get tickets and go check it out if you listen to this in time and just happen to be around Edmonton. So Fort Edmonton Park is an outdoor museum similar to, like here in the States, similar to Colonial Williamsburg, I guess, where they've replicated different streets to look like different areas in Canadian, and specifically Edmontonian, which I think is a real word, history. There is an area that is the main fort, which was not a military fort, it was actually a trapper's fort. There's an area that is themed to 1885, there's an area that's themed to 1905, and then there's an area that's themed to the 20s. Earlier this year, my now newest and some of my dearest friends, Lacey and Teresa, met me at HauntCon when they attended one of my seminars, and it was the seminar called Make It Real. It was about how to incorporate historic information or real mythology into a haunted attraction. And they said, we want you to work with us. So I've been working on this since probably March-ish. And there have been many, many different iterations, many different versions of this project. But where it all settled was that I would be the writer and consultant for the installation of this three haunt Halloween experience. They have done Halloween experiences before. They did a sort of a kid-friendly or more family-friendly Halloween experience before called Spooktacular, which is the same name as one of the companies that I formerly worked for, their kid-friendly event at SeaWorld. But it's a different country, so I don't think anybody ever mattered or minded. It certainly doesn't matter to me. But so they decided that they wanted to ramp up things and make them scarier, make them, you know, sort of 14 plus. And so they contacted me, and I helped them write out three different storylines, three different haunted attractions that utilized their assets. The historic buildings, the historic streets, some of the wagons that they have there, just as much of the stuff that they actually have as possible. And the cool thing for me is, you know, I love a challenge, but I also like the opportunity of having all of these incredibly detailed and themed buildings and sets and such that we don't have to build. So it makes it very interesting. So the three different haunted attractions that are part of Dark are, one is called Slaughter Pack, which I kind of took a fictional look at Edmonton history. It takes place in 1885, and it's when werewolves came and inhabited Edmonton, and how the village townspeople tried to fight back in any way that they could. You know, they tried Of course, the church said that it was because there were too many sinners, and the doctor said it was a scientific issue, so he's performing these god-awful experiments on the werewolves. And finally, the townspeople just rallied and decided that they were all going to come together and find everything they could that was silver and attack these werewolves. Well, guess what? The werewolves won. So that's one of the haunts. Another one is called Dead Wedding, because again, I wanted to provide as much variety as possible. So we did a romantic sort of love story taking place in 1905 that goes horribly, horribly wrong. And the bride, groom, and mother of the bride all show up dead right before the wedding takes place. And the haunt itself is sort of a ghostly retelling of that story. Now, the interesting thing about that one was the buildings are not necessarily in the right order as far as the way I wanted to originally put the story together. So I decided to make it a sort of nightmarish retelling and having the same characters appear at different places telling different parts of the overarching story. It's non-linear, but it gives you the whole linear story by the time you get to the end. And it seems to be working pretty well. Like I said, it just opened this past weekend, and so they've got a few more nights to go. But based on what the guests were saying, they got it, they understood it. And then the third haunt that is part of Dark is called A Taste of Eternity. And it is all about a contemporary cult that comes to Edmonton and sets up shop, so to speak, and they're trying to get converts. They're promising people eternal life, but the way they're guaranteeing that is not necessarily that they will live on in their own bodies, but perhaps as the food for the immortal core of this cult. You know, when you have a cult that is all about immortality, you don't really need converts. All you need is food. And that's what that haunt is all about. The cool thing for me is it takes me back to my roots in Chicago, because it's cold in Edmonton, Alberta. Now, this past weekend actually was quite mild, but it can get very cold up there. And so the centralized location is called the Dark Circle. And it's basically a beer garden, and it has culinary opportunities and, of course, a little bit of liquid courage if that's what you're interested in. And some really cool contracted acts that are out there performing and having a great time. Some of the most beautiful stiltwalkers, sort of Day of the Dead stiltwalkers out there that I wish I could take full credit for. I can't. It was a company that was contracted to provide them, and they did a beautiful job, just a beautiful job. So that's basically the event in a nutshell. And it all started, like I said, earlier this year, when they decided they wanted to be, or they wanted to try to be, the destination location for Halloween attractions. So they decided, let's ramp this up, let's make it scarier, let's put out a beer garden, let's put some great big bonfires out there to keep us all warm. And I have to say, based on the opening two nights, it was an absolute blast. It really captures what Halloween means to me. Now, for those of you who are haunters in warm climates, you don't think about the leaves changing and the crackling of leaves under your feet. The ability to go out and walk into the woods in the dark is just fun. It's just plain fun. And, you know, so I was really excited to do that and to be a part of that. The nice thing too for me is it's my first haunt, not only in Canada, but really my first haunt that I've designed and worked on outside of the United States. And it was really interesting, because there were some unusual challenges. There's, you know, of course, work paperwork that has to be done, but the fact that I'm doing so much of it remotely and sending ideas and talking to people via text message and email and phone calls and that sort of thing. I did go up to Canada three times during the course of the process, once to do a site walkthrough, once to do a pitch meeting, a final pitch meeting for the senior leadership team, and then, of course, this last visit was 9 days where I went up. Oh, and in the pitch meeting, I also did some casting. We did the casting for it, and it's odd to say I did pitch meeting and casting in the same trip. but we had to get the final sign off and get the last little bit of, you know, thumbs up okay. And so it worked out well. And like I said, this last time it was 9 days of training and helping them open, talking through some logistical issues and challenges. And it would, you know, as different as it was being in a cold climate and being in a different country, there are also some of the same basic challenges that any sort of theme park or, you know, outdoor park, museum has in getting everybody on board. You know, communication is one of the hardest things in any event that has multiple disciplines. And these guys, I gotta say, at Fort Edmonton Park, came together very quickly, very well. And as exhaustion started to hit in, I was so thrilled to see that nobody's tempers got out of line. Everybody just basically pitched in and made changes on the fly, made things happen. And the actors, I will say that the actors that are part of this event are so kind, and they all developed this immediate kinship with each other. Each of the houses is like a little family. And it's so neat to see it happen, to see that it happens everywhere with Haunts. So that was Fort Edmonton Park's dark. The other thing that I thought was interesting in the process is how much fun it was to get to work with a whole new team and make super fast friends. I didn't realize how quickly we had become friends and how deep those bonds went until I had to actually leave. And it was really sad to say goodbye. And I didn't even get to finish the whole haunt season. So it's just been a great experience. And it's nice to see that haunts in Canada, installing them there are very similar to installing haunts in the United States. They have the same challenges, they have the same great outcome. And, you know, when you're designing a haunt for an outdoor history museum, you don't have to go, you know, scrounging around for great scenic, because you don't have to replicate walking into the woods. You are walking into the woods. And that has made it really fun and very exciting. So now, let's take a listen to me telling you a little bit about Edmonton, and probably, I don't even remember what I said, but probably raving on about how wonderful the city is, how wonderful the people are, and that's simply because it's true. So here's the one and only interview, which is with myself, that I did while I was installing Dark in Edmonton, Alberta. So like every other episode that I record from someplace other than Tampa, I always like to give you a little bit of a rundown as to what the city's all about, or what the town is all about or the area. So, since I am in Edmonton, I thought I'd give you a little rundown. Edmonton is a great city. If you ever had the opportunity to come to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, take it, because it's a lot of fun. The area that I'm staying in is called, and I will probably mispronounce this, Strathcona. I've been staying at a little Airbnb, which is just off of what is called White Avenue, which is sort of this fun hipster main drag that has lots of restaurants and shops and such. So it's been really convenient for me. And then in the other direction is the North Saskatchewan River, which I would cross to go into downtown, or, you know, the place where all the high-rises are. And but it's got a great river valley, which apparently came about because of a flood. So it's this beautiful green space, a flood that happened many, many years ago, like early 1900s. But it's this great green space, a great place to walk. So it's, as cool as the city is, the thing that I really am taking with it are the people. The people here in Edmonton are so welcoming and so kind. And so if you have a chance to visit Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, whether it's for a haunt or not, please do so, because I think you'll really like the city. It's a great place to hang out and to
you know, drink Tim Hortons coffee and have a great time with some great people.
So also while I was in Canada, I had the opportunity to experience another haunted attraction in Edmonton, and that's called Deadmonton. And we went to see it because, you know, whenever I get a chance to see somebody else's haunt, I'm going to go. Because you want everybody's haunt to be good. I won't get up on that soapbox again. But we went and we experienced it, and it was a blast. It was just so much fun. Very, very different to what we were doing at dark, which is great. It was sort of an infection theme, like there was some sort of infection that the military had taken over. And it's in a big old warehouse, and you can tell it is just such a labor of love, because all the pieces you can just sort of see have been parts and pieces that have been added throughout the year, you know, like so many of you haunt owners out there do. It was a gob of fun. They had some great uses of standard stuff. They used a laser swamp very, very well. They had a green laser swamp that was really well executed, and the performer in that space did a really nice job of just rising out of the laser swamp. For those of you who don't know what a laser swamp is, it's basically a green or blue laser that they use to create through fog. They use fog or haze to print on, but they create the top of what appears to be a liquid or a moving environment or surface. And what's really fun is this performer would just rise up out of this swamp, and it was very, very well done. So I was very impressed with that. There was also a scare that I really enjoyed, and actually I think the people with me enjoyed it even more. I was walking through, and again, since it's cold, I had my hat on, and there was a scare performer overhead who, without me feeling it or even noticing it, knocked my hat off and scared the people behind me when I went to pick it up. They just did a great job. It was a lot of fun. So if you have a chance, while you're up checking out Dark at Fort Edmonton Park, take a little side trip and go in and check out Deadmonton, because it is also an excellent haunted attraction. In the case that, you know, you are able to get tickets, or you just want to find out a little bit more, see some more images, there's a couple of ways to check out what's going on at Dark. You can go to the website, which is thedark.ca, because it's in Canada, not .com, not .org, thedark.ca, and that is the official website. There is also a social media hashtag, which is DarkYEG. YEG is the Edmonton airport code. So DarkYEG. And you can see some photos that I've posted, some photos that the guests have posted, and you can kind of check out what the event is all about. Also, on the A Scott in the Dark page, I have posted a couple of images and some news reports that were done, so you can check those out as well, and you can kind of see what it all looks like if you're interested in this Canadian haunt. I know that in doing this haunt, we have garnered significantly more Canadian listeners. So if you are listening and you do happen to be in Canada, please join our Facebook group. I know a lot of you have already done so, but please join our Facebook group so that you can become part of the A Scott in the Dark community, and you can share your thoughts and ideas, your successes, your challenges, and of course, your suggestions for upcoming episodes of the show. So everybody's asking me, so now that haunt season is up and running and going, what are you doing, Scott? Well, I'm going to go back to Tampa, and I'm going to check in with the two haunts that I contributed to there. I will be checking out Creatures of the Night, which is at Zoo Tampa, which is the kid-friendly, family-friendly experience. I'll be going back to that at least one more time and checking in with all of those folks. And then I will also, probably Halloween weekend, I'll be back at Undead in the Water, which is at the American Victory Ship. And you can check that out at undeadinthewater.com or AmericanVictoryShip.org. And hopefully you'll come out and let us scare you. Oh, and if you want to go to Zoo Tampa, zootampa.org is the website for that fun event. Then after haunt season, I'll be doing some improv teaching, some non-haunt stuff. I'll be doing some guest service classes for Zoo Tampa. And then in November, I will be at IAPA. So any of you theme park folk out there, please make sure that if you're attending IAAPA, give me a call, look me up, email me, Facebook message me, grab me on the trade show floor, and probably more importantly, come and attend my seminar. I'm doing a seminar on entertainment departments and how they can generate revenue in your theme park. So I'm really excited because I've got a whole bunch of ideas, and I'm hoping that the audience brings some as well, so we can make it not only a seminar but also kind of an open discussion and think tank, and see if different people have had different success stories as to what would work. Then December is kind of quiet for me right now, so if anybody has a project that is going on in December, please call me. I'm open. I'd be more than willing to dive in and help out if I can. And then in January, I've got two different shows that I'm going to be doing seminars at. First is the special event show in San Diego. Sorry, I have to keep track of these things in my head because I don't have a script in front of me. Like I said, I'm sitting in an airport. So, I'm going to be in San Diego at the special event show talking about how to include atmospheric entertainment in large-scale events. And then, of course, I will be at HauntCon at the end of January doing a seminar on how to create a smoldering brand. I'm also one of the... I'm doing a little bit of sponsorship for HauntCon as well, because I think it is so important to make certain that haunters have the access to education that they want to have. So if you can come to New Orleans, do check out HauntCon, because it's always a blast, and the show just keeps growing and growing and growing. I know it's come up leaps and bounds from last year, and the folks from Gorgolore will be there. I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger. So please check it out, and stop by again and say hello. Give me a call. And actually, if you see me, I will have, hopefully by then, they're on order right now, but I should have my Scott in the Dark pins. So just walk up and say, hey, I listen to your podcast. Can I have a pin? And hopefully I'll have one in my pocket that I can give you. I know this episode was relatively short, but like I said, what do you expect? It's an extended layover in Houston. So from Houston, talking about Edmonton, Alberta, and getting ready to talk to fly home. Can you tell I'm tired? I know, what a shocker. Anyway, until next time, this is Scott Swenson. Rest in peace. Hey, are you still there? I hope so, because I've got more to say. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, and some of you aren't even old enough to understand what I'm talking about, but if this were the 60s and 70s and this were a vinyl record, this would be called the hidden track. This is the track that is never listed on anything, but exists after the last track has played and after there's a little bit of a break. And it's the one that everybody always thought was cool, because it was the one that they thought, well, gosh, the artist must really want to give us something special. Or it was a track that they didn't feel fit with the rest of the album. Now, this idea has been reinvigorated by Marvel movies. So if you're younger or significantly younger than I am, this is like that scene after the credits, okay? And the purpose of that is either to tease something that's coming up or share a little bit of information, or just get you to hang out a little bit longer. The real purpose of this is not to necessarily be hidden. The reason it's here is because I had already edited the episode, and I did something last night that I wanted to talk about real quick. So think of this as sort of a little Halloween, not a trick, but rather a treat that was based in the laziness of me not wanting to re-edit the episode. What I want to talk about just real quick is I went back to Howl-O-Scream at Busch Gardens in Tampa last night, and I've gone every year since I left. At first I thought it was going to be difficult to go back and see it again, because, you know, I wasn't involved, and but I gotta say, I went as a guest and I had so much fun, even though it rained a little bit while I was there. I had such a blast, and it made me think about how we all need to continue to support those haunts, whether we still work for them or not. And it also made me realize how proud I am to have been a part of the formative years of Hollow Scream at Busch Gardens in Tampa. I was there for the first 15 years of it and got to work with literally thousands of wonderful people. And when I left the company in 2014, I did go back. I have been to every single Hollow Scream, but I was a little bit disappointed, and I don't know whether it was because the quality of the event dwindled a little bit or because I was looking at it through a far more critical eye because I wasn't there anymore. Either way, this year is very, very strong. And kudos to those incredible people who have taken up the mantle of Hollow Scream and the entertainment department, all of the haunt actors, the designers, the teams that install the houses and the scare zones and the audio and the lighting, the people who put together the shows. I would start mentioning names, but I know that if I do, I will most definitely forget somebody. So I'm just going to say the entire Hollow Scream team and the management team at Busch Gardens in Tampa deserves a huge pat on the back for keeping something that is obviously very near and dear to my heart, keeping it alive and well. And while I was there, I ran into some folks, actually quite a few folks that I worked with before. And so many of them are asking, do you feel bad that you're not here anymore, or we miss you? And of course, I miss the people. I miss the people who were part of my very first After Dark family. And so those of you who are listening, my love goes out to you. Happy Halloween. And those of you who I didn't get a chance to work with before, I am so proud to see that this event continues to grow, continues to find new technologies that never existed to us when we first started this crazy thing. Now, what, 19 years ago, something like that? And I love the fact that, you know, there are new house ideas, there are new scare zone ideas. It is not the same event. It is not the same event as when I was there. And I'm so glad that it's not the same event. I'm so glad it has gotten a new breath of fresh air. It is back on the upswing. From what I could tell, the crowds were significant. And so it continues, or appears to be, again, I have no insider information, but it appears to be a continued viable element that is part of the Busch Gardens brand. And I am so excited. It's sort of like if you're a parent and you watch your kids grow up, they go through a time that you may not necessarily approve of, but you just trust that you set a really good foundation and that they will find their way to make themselves better than you had ever anticipated. Well, that's kind of what's happened with Hollow Scream. And all of the hard work and all of the challenges, you know, I look now and I go, gosh, you guys don't have any of those challenges. But I was talking to Ben DeWitt, who is pretty much the guy in charge now. And he said to me, you know, we have new challenges, which I totally understand. It was just a great pleasure to go and see this wonderful theme park haunt event. I know everybody talks about Halloween Horror Nights, which is also an excellent event. But I have to admit, I am biased towards Hollow Scream simply because I was part of it and it was part of me for so very, very long. So this little hidden track, this little hidden gem, this little post-credit scene is not to do anything other than to give my faithful listeners, all you true believers out there, to give my faithful listeners a little extra Halloween present, and especially to my friends who are working at Hollow Scream at Busch Gardens in Tampa. Great job. Thank you so much for an incredible night. And of course, everyone has always asked me about Hollow Scream. What's your favorite house? What's your favorite house? And as the creator or as the producer, I could never pick a favorite because you always have to, you know, recognize all of your family members as viable. And this was no different. People asked me as I was leaving, or even actually on social media as well, what was your favorite house this year? What was your favorite experience? And all of them had really wonderful elements to them. They all had really strong, powerful things that were happening. There were some great performances. And I, you know, some of the same challenges that we had back in the day, but I understand those. But now that I don't work there anymore, I can actually pick a favorite. Now, I'm sure this would change if I were to go again, but based on my experience last night, Insomnia was beautiful. And partially because it sticks out as something that is so unique within their overall show package. Insomnia, as the name suggests, takes place in a sleep disorder clinic, and it plays off of all of the nightmares you could possibly imagine. It was created, it was written by a very dear friend and absolute genius, a gentleman by the name of Claude Smith, and it was, of course, installed by the Busch Gardens team and all of their external contractors, and the actors in there were great. It was, so I'm sorry, all the other houses, you were great, but I absolutely loved Insomnia. And then, of course, the oldest house, which I still had a little bit of a hand in working, is still there and still going strong. And that's a house that is bayou themed. I'll just leave it at that. It's a great house as well. So that said, now that I can finally, you know, break my silence, I don't have to be the person who remains neutral, I can actually say Insomnia was great. It was a tremendous addition to the overall product of Hello Scream. But I will also say that the entire event was amazing. So thank you all to the Busch Gardens team. And yes, I bought my own ticket, so this is not a paid advertisement, okay? But I just want to say thanks to all of the Hello Scream team for giving me a really fun night of haunt in Tampa, Florida. And if you, we are in the last weekend, but if you're listening to this and you want to go out right away, I strongly recommend it because I think you'll have a great time. Once again, this is Scott Swenson from A Scott in the Dark saying rest in peace, and don't worry, I won't play that annoying end credit beep again.